This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Dale Park from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby.
Yes, we have Dale here in the studio. Good morning to you, Dale.
Thank you.
Dale, we're going to talk about the Religious Freedom Inquiry.
Yeah.
I understand that during the week you happened to be in a round table with the member for Hornsby, the mayor of Hornsby.
The mayor of Hornsby.
The mayor of Hornsby. former Liberal MP and Minister Phil Ruddock, who's chairing this Religious Freedoms Inquiry.
That's correct.
So tell us about that. Who was there and why were you there?
Yep. Myself and my other co-convener, Emma Halliday, were representing the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and we were in the same session with Rainbow Families and the Victorian AIDS Council. Mm. And so all three of us put in submissions, and they were interested in hearing, I guess, more about that those submissions and asking us specific questions. Philip said he had a few mischievous questions. Yeah, just to, I guess...
Is that an attempt to be funny, is it?
Well, I think one of them he thought was mischievous, but actually we all kind of answered really quite straightforward and really easily, was around if a gay baker was asked to bake a cake that said, "I support traditional marriage," what would they do? And we all said they'd bake the cake because it would be against the law to do otherwise. And that's someone's freedom of speech to do so.
Correct.
And he was like, "Okay, well, I'll go away and say that gay bakers will do that." And I was like, "Okay, go for it." So we didn't think that was particularly mischievous.
But there was funny. Funny for that matter, really.
No, I mean, there was a lot more intellectual discussions that went on. There was questions around, obviously, we all brought to the table our views on the current religious exemptions and the need to remove them, particularly, you know, creating safe spaces for LGBTIQ young people in schools and the children of LGBTIQ parents. We seem to sort of maybe get a little bit more favour than that in regards to employment, which is a little bit disappointing because obviously LGBTIQ people should be protected in all forms, not just in provision of goods and services, but also in regards to their employment within faith-based organisations. One thing that was very interesting was that we were told that the faith-based schools that they'd spoken to had said that they would not and have not excluded or asked LGBTIQ young people to leave the school, and they wouldn't, and that they know that they have LGBTIQ staff. And so
they certainly do.
Exactly, and that, you know, that they wouldn't look to use that. So my kind of retort was, well, if you're not going to use the exemptions, why have
them? Why do
them?
You need it? Mm. Yes.
And so that seemed to have more of an impact, I personally feel, with the students than with the employment, because then there was like, well, you know, there could be someone who goes against the teachings of a faith, and so therefore that could be problematic. And my kind of counter to that was, well, do you discipline someone before they've, you know, stepped outside and had a breach, or do you discipline them once they've actually done something incorrect?
So, Dale, just take us back a little bit.
Yeah.
What is the objective behind this review?
Well, the terms of reference were incredibly broad. It came out during the marriage equality debate and discussion, and I think it was really done to try and appease the
conservatives,
and to make sure that we got marriage equality through. I think it was then also to there was a lot of concerns that people on the conservative side had around this changing of the definition of marriage and what will that mean for them. And so this inquiry was, I guess, launched to try and sort of settle that. We definitely see it as an opportunity to really highlight to the rest of the community the experiences that LGBTIQ people can have within faith-based organisations, and that they can fear discrimination and therefore don't even apply, or live in constant fear if they are employed there.
Did you get the feeling, Dale, the questions they're asking, but did you get a feeling about what their view was as to why, you know, this inquiry, which, you know, we don't think is necessary. Some in the government think it's necessary. Philip Ruddock, I think, thinks it's necessary. Boy, did you get a feel for what they thought? Was there much in their responses?
So Philip Ruddock actually said something really... I think he was being very upfront at the beginning, and he said, the questions that I'm going to ask, please do not infer that I have an opinion one way or the other about them, which I quite kind of enjoyed that. And I would hope that the questions and the way that and the challenges that we got were flipped around and asked in the same way of the people who are fighting the opposite cause to us. So that's what I hope, and that's what
I'm just going
to
ring Betfair and put some money on that.
There was only one other panel member who asked questions. Her name has unfortunately escaped me, but she's a judge. And so she was coming up from a very kind of legal perspective and seeing and asking questions and challenges and seeing challenges around the difference, equality issues for the two groups and how they can kind of come to a head. And I think one of the points we were trying to make is also, well, who owns religion and religious beliefs? I'm sure we all have many friends and family who are LGBTIQ people of faith, and they would say that they strongly identify and could uphold the morals and values of the faith that they believe in. So that's something that I think needs to be considered in this
because
discussion.
I think there's obviously a difference. Individuals of faith have a particular view, and they may or may not agree with the tenets of that faith. I think where most of us have issues from time to time is with the institutions that run the faiths.
Yes.
Call it the business side.
What
is of the religion and the people who run those institutions that they have views that are the ones that we really object to. So again, I'm interested as whether the inquiry, did you get a feeling or do you know how many people have actually appeared before the tribunal and what the breadth of those people are, or is it a bit of a star chamber?
I don't know the total depth of people who are applying, but they were in Melbourne for 2 days having back-to-back meetings.
Right.
I know they were in Sydney, I think, the week before, so there is a lot of consultation going on.
But they're not going to publish the submissions that they receive.
When we submitted it, we said that ours could be published. So yes. I think it has the option where you could say that you wanted it published. We definitely obviously do. It's up on our website. It's on our Facebook page. We encourage people to look at it.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see
whether they all do.
Yeah.
Well, God will be able to read them.
Yeah.
Won't they?
If you've just tuned into the Saturday Magazine this morning, we're chatting with Dale Park from the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, and we're chatting about religious freedom submission. So, Dale, where do you think this is going to land? What do you think, you know, given that you've now had an insight and an experience and you've eyeballed a number of the panel members, where do you think, not where do you hope, but where do you think this is going to land?
I mean, I definitely...
I'm asking you to make a political judgment now.
So I definitely didn't get a sense from the panel one way or the other. I think, you know, they're probably very adept at running these sorts of things and aren't going to give away sort of too much. To be honest, in terms of where I see it going, I think in the current political climate, we're not going to get any wins for our community, unfortunately. I think it's something that we need to continue to push and fight for, and using the Batman election, for instance, and coming up and putting pressure on Labor to commit going forward around changes to religious freedoms is really important, and get a commitment from the Greens that they will continue to fight for our cause is really important.
I do find the whole thing a bit interesting because religious freedom is enshrined in our constitution. Mm. So what's really broke? And what I'm gathering is that this is really about creating opportunities for faith-based organisations to be able to discriminate against LGBTI people. Am I correct in that assessment?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, some of those already exist. So yes, we said very clearly we will all three organisations said very clearly we will not accept any extensions of religious freedom, religious exemptions, sorry. Religious freedoms should be there. They have to be there. They're there to protect people who have been persecuted as a result of not being able to practice their faith. They're not there to enable persecution. Exactly. At the Better Together conference, there was a trans woman from America who said religious freedoms should be a shield, not a sword, which I really loved.
Yeah.
In terms of where I think this is going to go, I get a sense that the status quo will probably be maintained. I think if we got any wins out of this, it would be a surprise.
So entrenching the existing exemptions that do exist.
Yeah, I'd be delighted if I was proved wrong.
Yeah.
We've just had a comment from one of our listeners, 317 again, God we love you, who says that speaking of religious leaders, there already are transgender priests.
Absolutely, yes. Now. There was a great The Drum yesterday on ABC. Fantastic episode, and she was absolutely phenomenal. And I think it's really important to say we know there are many faith-based organisations and faith-based schools who don't use these exemptions, who don't want to, who are part of the Safe Schools Coalition, who actively campaigned for marriage equality. So we think that's really a positive thing, and you know, we want to make that really clear. This is not an attack on individual organisations or things like that. It's about equality and protection.
As a final message, Dale, if any of our listeners want to participate in this in any way, I know submission time is over, but is there anything else that our listeners can do if they wish to have a point of view expressed and considered?
I think one area is we have a community survey that's up on our Facebook page. It's pinned at the top there, and that's asking questions around what's important to you moving forward in 2018, because we will have a state election. So this will help us campaign and lobby moving forward. And religious exemptions at a state-based level is something that we can fight and challenge through there. So I think that's really important.
Where do our listeners find the survey?
So it's on the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby Facebook page.
Excellent.
And it's pinned at the top.
Excellent. Great. Dale, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for
always
me.
Good to have you in the studio. Always great to hear your insights. And
thanks a lot.
And the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.